We're glad to welcome Professor Emeritus of Cultural Anthropology and Gerontology, Steve Jones, Murray State faculty, retired. We've only got a few short minutes, but what's important to know about the traditions in the African American community when it comes to burial?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to know is that the first cemetery was the Atlantic Ocean. Our African American ancestors came over on slave ships, and many of those that came either committed suicide or they died because the conditions were horrendous. So that's the first thing. But I think the most important point has to do with African American families. A central African cultural theme was that it was important for all people to be part of a community. And being part of the community meant being buried together, being buried with one's extended family. So these early cemeteries, the people that constructed them were not concerned so much with individual graves and where those could be located. They were concerned with where the extended family was buried. Some differences between traditional African-American cemeteries and traditional Euro-American cemeteries might be also instructive here. The location of African-American cemeteries tended to be in the past as well as in the present to some extent in marginal areas. This is especially true during the period of slavery. The marginal areas included places that had a lot of underbrush and trees. The cemeteries were located in open land areas as opposed to white cemeteries that were located in areas that were well manicured and neat rows of graves.
That tradition has some resonance for you as a resident of Mayfield.
It does, because the African-American cemetery in Mayfield, it's arranged somewhat according to some of the principles that I mentioned. At least one section, I should say, of the African-American cemetery in Mayfield, the oldest traditional section, the graves are not in neat rows. There are groupings of graves that are spread over a landscape. But I might take this opportunity to talk about one experience that I had in Mayfield that I kind of have reevaluated as a result of reading the literature dealing with African American cemeteries for these projects that you mentioned. I was very critical at one point of some African American churches in Mayfield because of their, it seemed to me, lack of upkeep of the local black cemetery. The cemetery had open spaces. It had sunken graves. It had mounded graves. There were open areas where the grass was simply allowed to grow wild, if you will. And I wrote in a newsletter that was very critical of the abandoned nature of this cemetery. And Lord and behold, I start preparing for this project, and I found out after reading the literature that some of these characteristics that I criticized the black churches for allowing to happen, those were just characteristics of many traditional and especially older African-American cemeteries. So I'll have to go back and offer apologies to to the black churches.
So there's a cultural understanding there that probably none of us would really think about. And I guess our conversation began with my question about whether the African-American community, which was throughout slavery separated from the white cemetery, whether that separation exists today by choice where it existed previously by mandate, basically.
Right. The separate, and that is an important point in terms of separation by choice. Sometimes, in fact, I would argue that we have to distinguish between those cases where African Americans are being denied, that is, being discriminated against because they are told that they can't bury a loved one, let's say, in a predominantly white or previously all-white cemetery versus those cases where African Americans choose to be buried in the quote-unquote traditional African American graveyard or the colored cemetery or whatever term you want to use to describe it. There was one example in some of the literature that I've read that had to do with the famous civil rights leader Fannie Lou Hamer. She told a friend that a young woman who had integrated an all-white high school had gotten murdered, maybe because she integrated this school. And they were having this young lady's funeral. The friend wanted to get there early, so she went to the white cemetery. When she got there, there was no activity, no graves being dug, no crowds, no nothing. And then she figured out, oh, the funeral must be at the colored cemetery. Later, Fannie Lou Hamer told her that even though the society was now, quote-unquote, integrated, because this was in the 70s, some African Americans still preferred to be buried in the, quote-unquote, colored cemetery. So there is an issue about choice versus the restriction of choice. But let me switch the focus just a little bit, because I think part of the issue here and that you always have to talk about is the fact that there was discrimination, needless to say, in some of this history of African-American cemeteries, African-American burials. And some of the discrimination took place in much earlier times, but a few cases that I want to mention in passing, I'm going to give you dates, and you might be surprised in terms of when these things happened. In 1952, a 19-year-old private first class, Thomas Reed, was killed in Korea. The Greenwood Memorial Cemetery refused to bury him.
Where is that?
The Greenwood Cemetery was in Louisiana. The Greenwood Cemetery required these things of private first classes, Reed's family. They said that they had to have three authorizations from veterans organizations like the VFW and the American Legion. In other words, those organizations had to write letters verifying that Private First Class Reed was killed and was killed in the manner described. This was not done for any white servicemen that were killed. There was a suit. The Greenwood Memorial Park Cemetery relented and buried Private Reed. In the Vietnam era, there were any number of cases where Vietnam veterans who were black were refused burial in white cemeteries. 1969, the Elmwood Cemetery in Birmingham, Alabama, was sued by a private William Terry's family. He was killed in Vietnam. They refused to bury him on the basis that there was not available space. There was a court case, and the cemetery relented and changed its policy. So there were these situations involving suits where African Americans wanted to be buried in predominantly white cemeteries. Earlier, we were talking about the issue of whether African Americans choose to be buried in a, say, an African-American cemetery as opposed to a white cemetery, as opposed to those situations where African-Americans are prevented by discrimination from being buried where they want to be buried. Again, we want to make the case here that it's important to indicate that African-Americans very often, even in this day and time, prefer to be buried with their kindred, which is often in a traditional black cemetery. One other personal example that I can mention has to do with my own mother, who died in 2008. I'm reminded of something that I read here regarding my mother's situation, and that is a person in this literature indicated that there was always space for one more person on the Black family plot. Always want a space for one more person on the Black family plot. And when my mother died, we had two family plots. One of them was in the cemetery that I criticized for being untidy and abandoned. The other plot was actually the plot of my mother's sister and her husband's family. And I realized that my mother wanted to be buried. In fact, she had said this in so many words, with her sister. Not with me and my family or on our plot, but she wanted to be buried with her sister. So we found a space for my mother's grave on that plot with her sister and her sister's husband's family. And that worked out well.
Dr. Steve, I'm very grateful for you for coming by today to talk about this part of our history that's all around us. It's still something that we all should talk about.
But it's something that's also ignored for the most part, I found out in the literature dealing with race relations. This is just not a topic that, if you look at the literature dealing with the civil rights movement, you will not find these kinds of situations that we're describing here. And some of them did end in conflict, legal conflict as well as other kinds of conflict. It's just not been dealt with.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.